this week, we're going to depart from our series on why we use the King James Bible, because there's an incident that happened in my personal life this week that I kind of want to, and have been prompted by God to kind of bring a lesson on. And it's something that I hadn't really thought about for this class, but certainly when I think about where I was at your age for this particular topic, I think it's absolutely applicable, and so the Lord has led me to bring a message on this. So, this week, I didn't have one. Yeah, I don't have the slip, so we'll see. So, this week on Tuesday, a friend that I had actually lived with this woman, and I lived with her mom for about 2 years when I lived in Lansing. I don't know where the slip is, so I have no slip. When I lived in Lansing, Michigan, I actually lived with these two, but I found out that on Tuesday this woman went missing, and then she was found on Wednesday, and she had passed away. And she was, I don't know exactly her age. I knew she's a little bit younger than I am, but I think I met her when she was 17 and I was 19 or 20. So she's just a couple years younger than I am. So, 36, 37 years old. And she passed away. And it's one of those situations where it's like, I haven't talked to this woman or her mother in well over a decade, but still it's one of those situations where it just kind of gets you thinking. And I know in her case, in the case of this woman that I knew, that she wasn't always the best mentally. She didn't always have the best mental health. Excuse me while I can't talk and write at the same time, so let me do this real quick. Sorry, those listening in later on, while I pause to do this. 3, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. But I know that she always wasn't the best mentally. And I think, when I knew her and at the age that you folks are at right now, I think that can be a normal, mental state to be in. Because I certainly know when I was your age, I certainly wasn't the best, one of the things that I think afflicts your age group more than any other thing is probably self-esteem, how you view yourself as it relates to others. Or you might get to thinking that nobody likes you. How many has ever had that feeling? Because I know at your age I did. I certainly thought that, gosh, nobody likes me. What am I even doing? The people that I hang out with probably don't even like me. I mean, I've certainly had that at that age. And it just got me thinking, and the Lord led me to bring a message on, hey, this is something that It is a serious issue, and it shouldn't be taken lightly, because this woman never got over some of the mental health issues that she was dealing with. And I have no corroboration of how she passed away. I know that she was found in a park in the north side of Lansing. The police don't suspect any foul play was involved in this instance. So that leads me to, one of three natural conclusions, and two of those are self-inflicted, and one isn't. By all accounts, she was physically a healthy person. I don't know. I can't jump to any conclusions, and I'm not going to. But I can tell you that through conversations that I've had with other people who knew her, they said that she was always in a lot of pain mentally. And it's really no wonder in the society that we live in that people get this way. Okay, understand that we live in a very self-centered society, and one that, and not just in America, every country has these issues. In fact, it's just a human issue. It's just part of being a human and being one of this, you know, species that we are, that God has created us to be. And since the fall of man, this is something that afflicts, has afflicted every nation, every people. But I think in our society, when we look at it, we have a society that has built, you know, actually has separated, separated the beauty that is life, okay, and especially how God, from how God sees it. Okay, we often, as a society, if you listen to or watch things, you see a separation of how God views life for how the world views life. You know, in our political environment right now, I mean, you have, and for the past 40 plus years, you know, you've had this debate of abortion, right? The fact that society deems it absolutely okay to abort a child in the womb. And more recently, the reason this is in the news, abortion, this topic is in the news more recently, is because some states have taken it to the point where if an abortion has failed and this child is born and is still alive, it's okay to still kill the child. That is not how God views life. We have devalued life as a society to the point that people suffering from mental illness feel like they don't bring anything to society. I have been listening to a podcast series on the Salem witch trials, and one of the things that I noticed, there was an interview with a scholar, okay, and she had been. Researching the Salem witch trials. But one of the things that struck me is the language that she used when she talked about real historical people from the 17th century in America. She was calling them characters. And while I know that she probably didn't mean it to devalue life or to devalue their place in the world, understand that that devalues the person that lived at the time. If I were to call someone a character, what is character regularly associated with? Make-believe, right? Fictional stories, movies. You know, Thor is a character. Okay? George Washington is not a character. George Washington was a living, breathing human being. He had character, which is something defined differently, especially in the Bible. But he's not a character. But so understand that we've built that into our society, where we have built in a devaluation of human life. And if you don't address any kind of mental status that you might be feeling at the time, you could succumb to that type of thinking. And the first thing we need to do is we need to understand how God views life. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. I'm not going to use my normal one because that's more for an abortion debate when you talk about Jeremiah, right, where he says, I've known you from the womb. That does play into how God values life, because God values life at all stages. Our society clearly does not. But I'm not talking about this. We're talking about how God values your life as it is now. So if we look at Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verses 28 through 31. And Matthew 10, verses 28 through 31 reads, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." You know, what this passage is telling us is God values your life. No matter what stage you're at, no matter if you're a homeless individual on the street and you're suffering from all sorts of mental health and physical disabilities or diseases, God still values that life. And God knows what you're going through. Understanding your age, I think you're more susceptible to suffering from some mental illnesses or depression or stuff like that. Only because, you know, I think maturity and self-confidence comes with time and age. I think Peter might agree with me here that probably when he was in his late teens, early 20s, probably had fairly low self-esteem. Okay? I can tell you from my own experience, I did. And I suffered from that. But I would never have called myself a depressed person, though I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's probably fairly natural for teenagers and people in their early 20s to feel, to contemplate, what it would be like if I were to die? What would the people around me think of about me if I were to just kill myself and be gone? You know, I don't know if you've ever had that thought. I can tell you at that age, I did. Okay. And just, what's that? Right. I think it's, if you have, trust me, don't think it's, I don't think it's abnormal. I think it's a normal thing. But I think what we need to remember is that God values our life, and it's right, you know, it's in the passage that we read. God knows when a sparrow is going to die. And when that's going to touch the ground, what makes you think that you aren't worth more than that? You know, that's the thing we need to keep in mind. And I don't mean this for this to be a heavy topic. I just want to approach it and get us to understand if you're suffering from these sorts of things, I think it's natural, but especially if you don't have God in your life. I think people who are not Christian and really don't understand what God's purpose is for them, I think they suffer from this a lot more, and they're troubled a lot more in their lives than someone who knows God.
Just to kind of go along with that, this issue is, in a way, I guess, almost a taboo issue to talk to in a Christian sense sometimes, in a Christian, especially in the Baptist church. Nobody wants to admit that we have problems. Nobody wants to say that we have, that we're suffering. You know, stop a smile on your face and get to church. And 6 days that you're away, or just 5 days because you're coming back on Wednesday, stop a smile back on your face and you're good to go again. I did that for many, 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 many moons. It's not fun. You know, you get a reputation that, oh, he's always happy, he's good to go. But you know what? If somebody actually took the time to get to know me, it's not always a good unveil the mask. You know, it's not a good picture to see when you take off the Christian mask. No, you're supposed to wear this all the time. It shouldn't be a wearing issue. It should be who you are. But don't forget, you're also human too. You know, you're going to feel depressed. You're going to, like, as you were saying earlier, you know, where is your value? You know, between that, the mid-teens to your mid-20s, you don't know where you belong. You're suffering between where to go. You're not married. Most people aren't married by then. You don't have a real good, career hasn't established yet. You know, you're still trying to find your way. College is out of the way with, now you're on your own. So, you know, just don't ever think that the church doesn't hold you, doesn't want to help you. Never think that it's a disservice to say, hey, I'm not feeling good, I'm not thinking right. You know, we've both been there, we know what it's like. So it's easier for us sometimes. I don't know how it is for Mr. West, but I know it's easy for me to find out who, just by watching people, I know who's not feeling right, who's not doing right. You know, but to get off back on topic, I'm sorry, but just don't assume that we don't care. Your value to our church and to everything else, you know, you could be the best. I worry about the ones that are always happy all the time. That's who I worry about. Because I was that person that was always happy and everything. But peel back that layer, I had to put that persona on because my life was so turbulent.
Yeah, no, Peter, I think you bring up a great point. I think it's that, especially, you know, in my experience in the Baptist church, it is certainly something that mental health or how people are doing in between the ears isn't really talked about, hardly at all. You know, and that's why I'm, you know, I struggled with, do I bring this lesson or not? In fact, I even talked to my wife about it. I'm like, I don't know if I should, but I think I would be doing a disservice to God and to this class if I didn't at least. I think this needs to be talked about because, you know, Peter's right. We don't talk about it much as a church, and it's something that is incredibly important. And God doesn't want you to suffer in silence. Because first of all, he wants you to talk to him. Okay. Now, if this is something that you struggle with or have struggled with in the past, and you certainly might find yourself in a struggle later on in your life, because I'm not here to blow sunshine up anybody's skirt or anything like that. Life can be hard. Life can be difficult. And you're going to go through times where you're going to struggle. It may not be a physical thing. Some of you may get married and may get divorced. I can tell you that people who've gone through a divorce, my wife is one of them. She struggled for many years with it. In fact, she was on she was on antidepressants at one point in her life. And it's a struggle. But nothing physically happened to her, right? But it's a destruction of a relationship. For her, and she ends up, you know, having those bad thoughts. So we have these instances in our lives where we can get low mentally, even though physically nothing's going wrong. Everything might be going right at work, or in your life, or you may be going to school and getting good grades, but you just don't feel right. And you know, there's some things you can do about that. And I think one of the things we need to do first is we need to gain our perspective on how God wants us to view him, because one of the first things we need to do is we need to turn to God's word. Okay, that's the first thing you need to do. Turn your Bibles to, let's go to Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, book of Proverbs is the book of God's wisdom, and Ecclesiastes is the book of man's wisdom. Now, God wrote all of them for us. And he wrote this book for us to understand the human condition, okay? And so when we look at, we're just going to read verse 1 here, and it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Understand that whatever you're going through that is allowing you or causing you to lose confidence in yourself or to have that mental anguish, there's a reason for it. It may not be readily apparent at the moment or at the time, but it could be God trying to get your attention. It could be God trying to say, hey, you need to pay attention to yourself, okay? You know, I've had instances in my life where, you know, just recently, I'm going to be perfectly open and honest with you guys because I don't want you to think that it's just at your age, though, I think you can be more susceptible to it, but understand that it can affect anybody at any time. But things happen for a reason, for a purpose, and at the time that God specifies. Okay, for me personally, back in September, I had an incident at work where I got reprimanded by my boss and then the boss of the plant that I work at. Okay. And I felt that it wasn't for anything. And I know I've told this to you guys and opened up to you guys but about this. But it wasn't for anything that I did wrong at work per se. It was that a woman perceived my treatment and conversation with her wrong. Okay? But that led them to find other faults in my work. Okay? So I had that going on. But not only that, my father-in-law had a massive heart attack and was in the hospital for, I think, 11 or 12 days, somewhere around there. And in that time, my wife's childhood house burned down, okay? And then we're getting my oldest son tested for autism, okay? So I have all four of these things going on. I lose a lot of self-confidence at work. And then a lot of these external factors happen. I can tell you, I wasn't in the best place. I can just go through it, and I could work through it, but I felt it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, I'm not too shy to go and talk to somebody about this. And I can tell you from personal experience that I went and I used my wife's, they have employee assistance programs, what they call employee assistance programs. I don't know if you've ever, you probably heard it, but I don't know if you've heard it at your place, but you can get, they have, hey, if you're going through a tough time and you want to talk to somebody, just call us and you can go see a therapist. And so I did. And I still do, you know, so it's been, I think I've gone through 6 sessions with them. I went through one that specifies that they're Christian counseling. So they understand the perspective that I'm going through or I'm coming from. But all of these things happen for a reason. So I get there and I go through these therapy sessions. The first couple are focused on those issues that I had at work. But it kind of evolved from there because as we're going through this, Amos is getting tested for autism. And it turns out that there's enough evidence there for him to be diagnosed with autism as on the autism spectrum. Okay. And now I can talk to my therapist about some of these things and how to handle that. So I see God working through this situation and allowing me to have this happen to help me with that. Okay. It happened for a reason and a time and for a purpose. So we need to keep that in mind as we're going through these tough times and these tough patches in our lives that, hey, God does this for a reason. So let's look at Proverbs. Just turn back a few pages. Proverbs chapter 3. So God allows these things to happen, but sometimes it's difficult for us to work through them. And then what happens when bad things happen with other people or somebody says something negative about you? Do you tend to break a trust with that person, that individual? And here's where we, you know, Proverbs 3 kicks in. Verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Understand that these things are happening for a reason. We can't lean on our own understanding for why. Why are these situations happening and leading me down this path of me feeling sorry for yourself in some instances, not as confident in my work or my life as I should be? We need to trust in God in these moments. It's something that can be very difficult to do because, hey, look, nobody wants to go through a hard time. But God never promised us a hard time after salvation. He never has. You look at the life of Peter as a great example. Or, I'm sorry, Paul. Paul is probably my, is like that one giant of the Bible for me. Because here's a guy who was a real jerk. Spoke against people to get murdered because they were believers in Christ, and then he ends up getting saved and being one of the best missionaries in the world, in the history of Christianity. Did he have everything easy? No. You read his list of complications and stuff in his life, and it's like he was flogged like 5 times by the Jews. You know, I think it was 40 stripes save one, so 39 times 5 or whatever that number is. He was left at sea for a day and a half, just floating and bobbing up and down in the ocean. He was imprisoned several times. That's not an easy life. That's not easy for anybody to do, yet he trusted in God and trusted in him to the point where he evangelized while in jail. He evangelized to the Jews. He evangelized to anybody who ever did him wrong because he trusted God. And that's something that we need to do as we go through these patches in our life that may lead us down that may lead us to a bad mental state. And let's turn to John chapter 14. all of these passages, by the way, I just want to be perfectly clear. I came across these passages the first time when I started looking for a place to go get some to go to talk to a therapist, right? And I went to this clinic for Christian counseling, and these are verses that inspire these therapists as Christian counselors. These are verses that inspire them and get us to understand that, hey, God's in control and we need to trust Him. Okay, so John chapter 14, we're going to read verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this is Jesus Christ talking to his disciples and saying, I'm going to leave you with peace. Now, peace doesn't always mean you're going to be free from physical or verbal violence or aggression, okay? But you can have peace that God is going to be with you in every situation. He's going to lead you and guide you through these times. Okay? And that's what Jesus is telling them. Hey, I'm leaving you with this peace. My peace I'm giving to you. Jesus Christ showed the greatest amount of peace out of anyone who's ever walked on the face of the earth, even in times of distress and trouble. The most he ever got agitated or... there were a couple times that he got agitated, one being, you know, flipping over the money changers in the temples. The other time that he got, it showed any sort of what our society might call negative physical or emotional state is when he was crying in the garden to God to say, hey, I don't want to go through this, but I still want your will to be done, God. because he cried tears of blood, the Bible says for us. But understand that he still had a spirit of peace about him because he knew God was in control. And that's what we need to understand and to look to and to also have in our lives is have that peace as we go through these times, as we go through these times of troubles in our lives. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. No, I'm sorry. Psalms chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. Back in your Bible to Psalms. Yeah, we're doing some flipping. I hope you brought your Bible with you today and you're able to follow along. I don't want anybody to think that I'm making this stuff up, because first of all, I'm not smart enough to. And second of all, that you can read it, and if it's a passage that strikes you, you can underline it in your Bible. I've showed you many times that I have a lot of ones underlined in my Bible. Okay, so here then, this is getting us into territory where we can look at God and lean on Him. So we've had passages of lean not unto thine own understanding. So we look for God's knowledge and wisdom. This one is Psalm chapter 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, God can help you through these times. And sometimes the way that God does that is through people. Look, we shouldn't be deliberately obtuse or ignorant about the things that God has allowed on this world and that He has allowed them for His will and His good. Okay, and what I mean by that is you should never be embarrassed or hesitant to visit a therapist because you might think that it might make you weak, that you're a weak individual. Nothing could be further from the truth. God has put these people here to help. It's the same as going to a doctor. Okay? If you have physical pain and you just ignore it, is it going to get better? Hey, you know what? It could. If you have a broken arm, it'll eventually go away. But is it going to heal correctly? No. Okay? If you have a sharp pain in your stomach, you're like, it'll go away. I'll be okay. And then you die because your appendix burst and poisoned your body. That's not the proper, that's not the proper perspective to have. God, God allowed these people to have knowledge of the body and gain all of this knowledge and unlocked it for us so we could go to them and get the assistance and help that we need, both physically and mentally. Okay? Because there's other parts to our body besides the physical manifestation that is before us today, right? But we're not just physical vessels. Though that's how a lot of the world sees us, and that's why they devalue life. Okay? They see it as simply a physical presence. And once that physical presence is extinguished, that person is no longer. That's not how it is. Yes, we're a physical presence. But we're also a soul and a mind. And if this isn't right, the rest of it isn't right either. I can tell you, if you're not right mentally or emotionally, it can lead to other physical issues. Okay, people who suffer from, especially women who suffer from depression, oftentimes will be also anorexic or bulimic or have other disorders to go along with that. Okay, which then can lead to physical disability, which then can lead to death. Okay, so it started here and it ended up in other parts. Okay. So understand that God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. And he's not only a trouble that we should go to him in the book, in this book, which we should do. This is the first place we should turn. But if this isn't doing all the work that needs to be done for you, you should reach out and you should try to get that help that you need. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 39. It says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the other thing we need to remember is that no matter what happens on this earth, whatever is getting you down, nothing can separate you from God if you're saved. That's a big if. If you're not saved, this verse doesn't apply to you. I'm sorry to say that. So the first thing you need to do is you need to get saved. You need to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He took it upon himself to die for your sins. And he rose again the third day to defeat death. That's the first thing that needs to happen. But the other thing is, hey, if you are saved, then God, nothing can separate you from him. So no matter what's going on in your life, nothing's going to separate you from him. You have that relationship and you should use it. All right, last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Look, your physical body is going to go away at some point. We all have an appointment. God knows what that is. But your mental and your soul goes on. We need to be sure that we take care of that. I'm not here. This is not a commercial for therapy or anything like that. This is simply addressing an issue that affects every single person. And for whatever reason, we as God's children have neglected this particular topic for a long time. I think because a lot of people are embarrassed by it. I got over that a long time ago. You know, when I was in college, when I was 29 years old, I went to the doctor, so I got over some like physical and mental just embarrassment a while back because I was having issues, and I ended up with a colonoscopy at age 29. Okay, so I had to talk about things that are pretty uncomfortable to talk about in front of, especially a woman, you know, a woman, okay? So I got over that a long time ago. And I hope this lesson gets you to think about where you're at up here and gets you to at least either acknowledge those times when you're feeling bad and depressed and turning to God. And if that doesn't help, turn to someone else who can help you. And I'm not saying that you can't turn to somebody, another one of God's people, because I think maybe that's a place you should start. But if they can't help you, and they should be honest in telling you that they can't help you, don't be afraid to see a professional. Just don't put yourself in that situation where you're like, I'll get better eventually. That might be true, but also might not. So I pray this lesson was a blessing to you and that you're able to gain something from it. Thank you. You're dismissed.